Guys, we don't know anything. You don't know anything. I don't know anything. I have a very strong feeling we're back in 2026.
I think it's got to be in June. It's got to be on the farm, or it's not Bonnaroo.
This is a summer festival to me, and I think for 20 years, we have solid, solid data that this time frame, June, they have cornered the market on June.
Welcome back to the What Podcast. I'm Barry. That's Brian. That's Russ. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing well. As good as we can.
Yeah, still doing really well. Yeah.
Are we feeling better? We're 3 weeks removed from the not so great best week of our lives, Bonnaroo 2025. I'm feeling better. I'm going to go ahead and just say it.
I'm feeling better because there's a version of this that's maybe I'm forcing it, but the not so great, but you know, I don't know. Maybe it was pretty good, but not, I don't know. It's an inward struggle here, but yeah, I'm feeling better. I'm definitely feeling better.
I'll go ahead and give Brian a plug. Brian, your Stone on Air show, you talk about Bonnaroo quite a bit, and I'm going to reference, we can send people over there. We're not going to relive it all, but I thought you grabbed it, you captured it. We had a great Thursday and Friday. I mean, this was one of the best Bonnaroos ever in a lot of ways, but also one of the worst. So,
well, thanks. Thank you. I do an annual here in Chattanooga, just kind of a local deer diary. It's just a hobby. But I do the annual recap just from my perspective only. And a lot of people around here like that. I appreciate it, first of all. Yeah, there was a lot of things about Bonnaroo this year that after I was able to sit down and think about it, it's like, this is still, and the obvious stuff that you guys know about that we enjoyed, but it was more than that. It was a little more than that. So thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, it was
go really, look up the Stone on Air podcast if you want to hear it.
Yeah, I commend everybody to go listen to it. It was really good, and it nails, and that's the reason I bring it up. And Russ, you tend to look at the socials a little bit more than we do, Brian and I. Though Brian looks at it more than he wants to admit.
That's not true.
No,
I stay away from it. Okay, anyway, sorry, go ahead. Yes, I do look at it, just not as much as everybody else. But go ahead, Barry.
And so, I think that's where I am. So we're 3 weeks removed. I feel better about it because, and I'll be honest, I reached out to our friend Brad Parker, the director of Bonnaroo, and just kind of like, I didn't ask him any questions, just basically, hey, how are you? And he said, one thing I've learned, people are very passionate about this festival. And we knew that going in. We had it 1,000% confirmed while we were there. And we'll talk about that in weeks to come. But I think that's my message, or that's my takeaway from the last 3 weeks. Obviously, some people had their hearts ripped out. Brian, you summed it up. Soul-crushing, heartbreaking. I mean, pick any word. You kind of joked, and what was it you told your brother? You said before we got on the air today?
Yeah, I said we were talking about a variety of different things, and he doesn't get the spirit. He doesn't get the essence of all of it, and that, you know, that's fine. But he's a big sports guy, and I was like, you know, this isn't just like the ball game got canceled, like they have been so much here in the South recently, and we'll have a doubleheader tomorrow. Like,
right.
There's a ball game every week.
Yeah, it's not the same kind of thing, because I think a lot of outsiders would be like, well, you know, hey, you still got to go. You had a little bit of fun, and, you know, stuff happens.
Right.
Well, stuff like this doesn't happen, even though it's now happened twice. So.
Well,
yeah, it's difficult to explain sometimes, but everybody in this ethos that listens to our show and the people that we interact with mostly get it. But we also know, you know, your question, Barry, who's tired of, or who's been told we're tired of hearing about Bonnaroo in your regular life, and that's everybody there.
Well, yeah, you mentioned comments and all that. YouTube, we now have a community section on our channel. And some people have already started posting there. If you want, guys want to go look at that. We got one from John Cena's cousins. They posted some pictures of their camp and some of the muddy aftermath. And then Travis Beckett posted saying it was great seeing us Thursday on the live podcast and had some nice things to say. And then another guy posted what looks like a van stuck in the mud trying to leave, I guess, Friday.
Yeah, keep that kind of stuff coming. And when I talk about the, I stay out of the comment section, I do look at our show comments. It's the Reddit Bonnaroo weeds. Those threads get so long.
Oh, stay out of Reddit. Yeah,
so long. And like anything on Facebook and some of these other socials, I just can't stand it. But I do look at our show, especially through YouTube, and Taco, the YouTube channel just looks better and better. And so thank you guys for coming. So I don't want to deter people from participating.
Yeah, and we'd like to see more. I mean, if you can come on the YouTube channel. On the community section, posts or whatever, you can make a post. You can put some pictures up, comments, whatever. We'd love to see it. Maybe put some on the show.
Can we set up a phone line that we have used for contests in the past and gotten great response? So if you'd like to share basically what Bonnaroo means to you, we'll just keep it real simple. You can say anything you want to, basically, but what does Bonnaroo mean to you? Why is it important to you? And that number, 423-667-7877. Call. I'll be honest, we're doing this because we want to hear from you, but it also maybe provides a little show content going forward.
Yeah,
so
we could play it on the show.
Love to.
And do remember, it is voicemail, so you can't call and talk for 30 minutes.
Thank you, Taco. It's
about the limit.
Thank you. Brevity is the king of this kind of thing. And I'm the worst. I'm the guy who, like, keep it at a minute or get out of here.
Yeah, Brian's going to spend 5 minutes telling you why you should keep it to 30 seconds.
That's exactly true.
423-667-7877. I'm glad you mentioned pictures, because another thing that I have really enjoyed the last couple of weeks is our friend David Bruce has started posting the photos that he took in the short days that he was there. I am Bonnaroo. He was in our camp, came back home with me and spent Saturday night here at the house. His work is amazing. It's one of the things. He captures the spirit. You mentioned the spirit of it, Brian. I think David, he loves this as much as anybody, and he captures it in every single photo.
Well, that's the uniqueness of what he does. He goes for the everyday man and woman, the every moment, the every other hour type, rather than the concert footage photographer. They both have their own place, and he does that different. And I got to know David for the first time this year. And, I mean, I've been around him 2 or 3 years in a row, but, I mean, as you guys know, I get a little aloof, and I kind of am like, oh, hey, nice to meet everybody. See ya. And so this was the first year. So that's even another part of what made this year great, another relationship that that he went out of his way to be even, you know, more engaging in a way that was palatable to me. So I appreciated that from David.
Absolutely. Which sort of helps encapsulate why I'm feeling better about it. Back to the Brad Parker comment about people are passionate about this thing. Guys, we don't know anything. You don't know anything. I don't know anything. I have a very strong feeling we're back in 2026. I know the survey came out. We're going to talk about that. I think the survey was done because they needed to do something. Here's the reality, and I think, Brian, you brought this up last week. People keep pointing out that of the last 6 years, three have not happened. Well, two are complete outliers.
Yeah.
Or this year's the outlier, whichever way you want to look at it.
Yeah, and I brought that up a lot on the my regular show, too. Yeah. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you can't predict COVID, and you can't predict a hurricane in September. This year we had 100-year rain in the Tennessee area. That's not going to happen every year. The survey, you know, do we want it to go every other year? Do we want it to go in the fall? And if we do, what will get in the way? I think you got to ask those questions. It has to happen in June. It has to happen in Manchester. It has to happen just like it always does. And let's go.
The questions they've asked before, and they've always said, this doesn't mean that we're going to do it. We're just kind of curious what people think.
Yeah. So,
you know, don't take it as gospel, but yeah, I agree. I think it's got to be in June. It's got to be on the farm, or it's not Bonnaroo.
That's right. And we'll be back next year in June.
Yeah. Do we want to get into this survey for a minute now? Or,
sure.
Or,
yeah. Go ahead.
Because I didn't take it initially. I was going to, and it dropped between our last show, and we actually talked about things that were very relevant to that survey. We just got lucky that that's what we talked about. But to speak to it
specifically. We are professionals, Brian. You can we know what we're doing.
We're the best podcast in the streets. We're
certainly the oldest.
There it goes.
Anyway, so I...
Shout out, thanks to Mary on our Discord, because she grabbed those screenshots because, like you said, it closed before we really got a chance to look at it.
Yeah, right here. Thank you. So I went to go take it, and then it had already closed. So it was a very short window on that. I have a big problem. This is just me in regular all-day life. I just junk data polling. Just we're an analysis data gathering distribution kind of crazy society in America. We psychoanalyze everything. And I'm not going to call it a slanted poll because it's not, but it yes and yes no is almost never a good way to ask a question and get an answer. Do you like Bonnaroo? Yes or no? Like, yes or no? I don't. It's pretty good. More, I like it a lot. It's
actually I thought it was more open ended. It was more like I don't remember the one, but
well, I've got them right here. So
yeah, would you want to see it move? It's kind of like yeah, but I want. Where's
well,
my?
Well, that's not what they asked though.
Where add comment?
They didn't ask you.
Yeah,
move.
Yeah. It's
they
like
asked,
I want to comment.
Would you attend?
Yeah, but even that, like, would you attend? Well, I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't
Hell
know what
yeah,
I'm doing
I would attend.
Year.
I would definitely attend. Do I want it to be in October? No.
Right. You know?
Exactly. It's not a full real. Right.
I don't think it's asking the right question.
Yeah, there was the and but. There was where was the butt?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where do I type my comment?
Well, here's, exactly.
Here's another thing. It's the most measly thing ever. It's five questions.
I know.
So we'll just run through it real quick. Would you attend Bonnaroo if it happened in 26? I mean, yeah. I mean, I think. I don't know. Maybe my mom or maybe
who would say no? Yeah.
Or maybe my best friend's getting married in June and I don't know about it yet.
Yeah.
Or would you likely attend if it happened every other year? I think that's a fair enough question to gather what people think, but it's still yes or no. Well, I mean, yes, no. I just not a clarifying. I am looking into this too much. I get it. But would you attend if Bonnaroo was a few weeks later in the summer? Yes, no. I think. Okay. And then a good one that I circled, fair question, still don't believe it falls into a yes, no. Would you attend Bonnaroo if it was late September, early October? I thought that was at least a good gathering question. You guys don't understand if you think that it's late September and early October. I mean, maybe I'm wrong and you disagree with me here, but I don't think you understand what you're getting yourself into October. I mean, you're getting cold, cold nights, warm well, potential
Brian,
days.
Yeah, hot,
remember,
or cold,
remember,
cold, cold.
You and I went to Exit 111 in October. Yeah. At the farm,
it was awful.
It was there. It was cold.
Yeah,
I was there.
That's
very
right,
cold.
Barry. You were there too. And
you went.
It was a nice warm day. And I'm going to the farm like I'm used to, and I don't pack for it right. And I live here, and I should know better. And I was freezing. It was good weather. Like, it was a seasonable, regular weather day. Nice and warm during the day. Very, very, very chilly at night. And so, some people who love fall are going to be like, yeah, you're speaking my language, man.
Right.
Yeah, see, like, I can't be around anyways. I'm prepared. Yeah. I bring Mr. Heater. I know what I'm getting into. Not everyone that goes to this thing is gonna have that level of preparedness. They're not gonna have enough supplies.
This is a summer festival to me, and I think for 20 years we have. Speaking of data, we have solid data that you can that is not open to interpretation. That this time frame, 1 week later, 1 week earlier, whatever, June. Boy, they have cornered the market on June. You want to start moving into other areas, and you're infringing on other established events, national, regional, whatever it might be. I think the home run is sitting right there. I think the question is,
I agree.
Do you, Live Nation C3, do you want to have a camping festival in rural Tennessee? That's the question. And it's either yes or no for you guys. That's the real question right there.
Yeah.
And June is still the most predictable, stable month for weather.
Yeah.
Hot and dry.
This was the outlier, not the other two.
Yeah.
I think that's right. And the other thing that I found fascinating is 4 weeks ago, everything was rainbows and unicorns. This was a great lineup, one of the best lineups ever. That Friday lineup was killer. We couldn't wait. And in the 2.5 weeks since, and again, I shouldn't do it, but I do. Some of the comments, I mean, people are nitpicking. I mean, we're pulling things apart and blaming Live Nation. And here's the other point I want to make. For all you guys, and Brian, I know you're not a fan, Live Nation is Brad and Corey and Tuba and Ken Weinstein and all the people that run this festival. These are the people that run this. So that throwing Live Nation under the bus, while I get it, and certainly there were mistakes, and we can talk about the exit strategies and what could have been done differently, and we will get into that eventually as we get more actual details. But a lot of it is anecdotal. If you're the car that got stuck in the mud, it was a shit show, and I get it.
Yeah.
And you should be angry. And there's nothing anybody can say. I get it. But, you know, at some point, we got to figure out.
I'm glad you mentioned that because, you know, Live Nation is almost like the boogeyman. That, you know, everybody is quick to say, oh, Live Nation screwed up. Live Nation should have done that. But like you said, Live Nation is...
It's the same guys that we talked about for 51 weeks about how awesome they were being.
But no one ever...
Sorry, go ahead.
But when things go right, no one's ever like, oh, Live Nation did such a great job.
Exactly.
You know, it doesn't go both ways, but it should because it's the same people.
Without Live Nation... Yeah, without Live Nation,
they get a lot of things right.
We have no Bonnaroo. Right?
Yeah, they don't survive COVID, and they don't survive a hurricane without Live Nation.
Right,
so if you're going to blame them, let's give them some credit, too.
I'd like to share this real quick. It's just a long message from a local person who's been going to Bonnaroo for years that I don't know well, but I do know as maybe we'll see each other this year, that kind of thing. Same kind of thing we're talking about the other week.
Sure.
Like somebody I would never know if it wasn't for this. And,
sure.
And she said, I want to listen to the show before I comment. And it said, okay, there I listened. I agree with you guys on almost everything. I, unlike you talking to me, can't stop reading the Reddit threads. And people are mad. And anytime someone tries to toss in, it's still Bonnaroo and we'll always go, quote unquote, they get called a Live Nation plant or a bootlicker. It's wild. Yeah. Goes on to talk about the trying to get out on Friday and into Saturday. And so there's a lot of stuff, and this is the things we might go into more down the road, that I don't know really what was going on out there, and I do believe it was probably pretty bad. But I think there was no way around that.
Right.
We also live in a society of America these days where anecdotes equal proof.
Right.
Like everything in everybody's life. Well, my dad had trouble getting a kidney transplant. Therefore, health care in America is horrible. Yeah. Sorry about your dad, but it's not really, doesn't really matter. And like, so we use this anecdote, but here, let me tell you my story.
Right.
And therefore, here's why everything is horrible.
Right.
And that's, we're getting a lot of that. A couple things, though. One thing that I mentioned on my local show that I don't know if we talked about here, that a lot of people were saying that there was no help. People disappeared as far as staff. Well, a lot of the staff is volunteers, especially down on the ground. Certainly not all, but a lot are. And the only compensation the volunteers get, basically, they might get a few meals, and this is not new. Live Nation did not ruin this. This is how this has been from the jump. I've known volunteers for 20 years. You guys have too.
Yeah, my daughter ran the program for 3 years.
Exactly. The main compensation is an admission to the festival. And when there's a panic, borderline panic situation, and the only compensation was the festival you just canceled, Well, kind of on your own on that one. And so that's not the volunteers being bad people or not following through on their end of the deal. They got to get out of there too. But one comment here that was in reference to that point. The volunteers from her again, also anecdotes here. I get it. So this is just somebody else. The volunteers were a lot more hostile this year in the few interactions that I had with them from the past. And then the last one that I think that Bonnaroo lacked, where they lacked was emergency risk management. Obviously, everyone was going to party like crazy on Friday night, and all of that partying was more spread out because Centaroo was closed. I'm basically meaning just that's going to create a lot more confusion, and that's your own damn fault. But it's also understandable. But her comment was there's having more medic fleets and 24-hour response. You know, just one person's opinion. And then also the self-service thing. I didn't realize this, but we should have known. When everybody is camped out, sitting around all day on their phone, of course none of the phones work.
Right.
A regular time, I'm making stuff up. A half the people are going to be on their phone, or a third. Well, for a day and a half, every single person there was on their phone, so therefore, no phones work.
I agree. Isn't this a good argument, though, to bring back Radio Bonnaroo? If they had...
You know I'm going to say, hell yeah.
Yeah, I figured what you would agree.
That's
but
a good point.
Yeah, I mean, that could be turned into a 24/7 communication thing. And, it's impervious to cell phones because it's just radio.
The infrastructure sitting right there, 45 minutes up north in Nashville, Lightning 100. Many of the people we've known over the year, good friends of ours, they'd be happy to do it. Think about it, Bonnaroo.
Bring it back.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I remember sitting there Friday, and we talked about this before, talking about what was going on in the room. The discussion.
Oh yeah, the fly on the wall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When do you announce that it's canceled, and what's the exit plan? You know, in theory, you say, okay, plazas or pods, as I like to call them, 10 and 11, you're out first. That's never going to work. That's the silliest idea.
No one's going to comply.
And I mean, I just can't imagine. And what happened is exactly what happened. Even on a good year, everybody leaving on Monday morning or Sunday night, it's a traffic. It's everybody wants to leave at the same time at their own convenience. Now you throw in mud and water. So,
yeah. And I'd like to know too, everyone says, oh, Live Nation screwed this up. Okay. Give an example of a festival where everything went 100% right. Give me an example of a canceled festival and everyone got out exactly according to plan.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be, it doesn't matter who it is. It's going to be a shit show either way.
It's funny you say it that way too, because there was just a little weather concern on a thread somewhere. I think it was Reddit. And I was like, the weather pattern, this was before. It's almost like I'm looking back like, whoa, I was maybe onto something. I didn't realize it. But I was like, the weather before, what we've had here, if this continues, this will be a problem. It will be fine, but it will be a problem. And somebody was like, well, will it be fine or will it be a problem? Like, are you entering this thinking that there will be no problems? Because if you are, you're already out to lunch on this one.
Oh, I think I sent you guys in our super group text on Tuesday, maybe. I said, this could be a problem. This mud is going to be an issue. And I think it was after you sent a note, Russ, that you and David, it helped somebody get unstuck, right?
Yeah, that was Tuesday.
Tuesday.
It was Wednesday because
you were alone in a field.
It was Wednesday because Joe and Tara had shown up. His truck. I had the chains.
MacGyver.
So, yeah,
Joe
we both
MacGyver.
You had to go pull out a truck from the mud. And yeah, you're right. This was Wednesday. This is before the thing even opened. So yeah, that probably should have been a clue that.
And I think I sent a text and said, I got a bad feeling. And you guys were like, what are you talking about? What do you know? And I said, I'm just saying.
I wasn't ready to believe those things.
But
plus
anyway.
The fact that they delayed opening Outeroo on Tuesday by a couple hours, specifically to try to let the ground dry.
Yeah, I mean,
two hours isn't going to do nothing.
No.
There's yeah, no Brian, you and I have seen it when they put the sawdust down and the plywood down, and we've seen those threads where people said, why didn't they bring in plywood? And, I mean, like, how much? I mean, you'd have to buy out the world somebody, to cover 700 acres.
You can't get that much on such a short notice. You'd have to order that months in advance.
Somebody somewhere was like, Electric Forest has, like, fresh dirt that they put. I'm like, what are you going to do with fresh dirt in the middle yeah. of Tennessee yeah. when it's yeah. raining torrentially for 2 days? You're going to have mud. Like, you know, I get it. People are so passionate, and I love that about this. It's just sometimes it does go totally sideways. And there is a level of, you know, the Rick Rubin comments or his kind of philosophy, the, you know, the renowned producer, Kanye,
sure,
Beastie
sure.
Boys, Rage Against the Machine, all those. He that was running in the last year or so that it was kind of like the audience doesn't matter kind of thing. It's the idea that you should just create and right. not worry about what the audience thinks. I subscribe to this theory. In this, it's more of a customer base. It's a little different than the audience, but there is a little bit of a level of guys going back to Live Nation. I know, Barry, you said, you know, I'm not a complete fan. Well, I'm not a big fan of huge conglomerates on any level.
For sure.
But Live Nation, you know, you've got the data already. You understand what this is. You figure this out. Don't worry about what Reddit thinks. We already kind of mentioned this last year or last week. And so that's why I'm like, you know, put out this 5-question survey if you want. It's going to keep a little bit of a news cycle and some buzz going, and that's fine. Do that. NFL has cornered this market. Use the same model, you know, just regularly having things out there for people to digest. But don't worry about it that much. Don't worry about these answers. You know, you're the pros. You yep. got this. Do you want to do it or do you not?
And back to what Brad Parker's point, we love this festival. We'll be back. We're coming. And there's a plenty of us. There are people yeah. who had a bad time and will never come back. And I'm sorry. I hate that. And I can't blame you. I mean, my God, the stories of, you know, people who traveled cross country and got there
and
for
stuck in that.
Oh, I get it. Yeah.
I get it.
If you saved up your vacation and your money all year to come do this one thing and it ended up like this, I mean, yeah, of course, it makes sense that you might not want to risk it again.
And I'm glad you brought that up, Taco. It just sparked a memory here, and I wish I'd wrote it down. I'm sorry I didn't. But the 2 or 3 or 4, however many it was, festivals on the East Coast that offered free admission for Bonnaroo wristbands, any of mm-hmm. the southeastern places of business, of bars, of small events that offered discounts to people with wristbands, that's a huge thing, and you guys deserve huge credit for that, because a lot of places around where we live didn't do that, kind of rubbed me the wrong way. So thanks yeah. to everybody who did that, because it's such a nice sentiment. Most people aren't going to take you up on that, and so thank you for doing it.
Yeah, just good business.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty simple yeah. stuff. Like, I don't know anything, and I know that. But anyway, what we got today we're going to wrap things up with, Barry.
All right, I'm so excited. This was one of the things that we love, the three of us love about Bonnaroo, are the band interviews that we get to do. We love to work. We love, especially on Thursday and Friday, we love to set up these interviews with bands. We honestly don't care whether they're well-known to us or brand spanking new. We just love to talk
yeah,
to them.
Yeah, but I almost like them basically equal. Portugal exactly. the Man, Hey Nothing. I'll take either one of you.
Me too. Me too. And we, especially because we've done it for so many years, we love, like, following. And we landed on Hey Nothing. And Tyler and Harlow. And I didn't know a lot about them. I knew a little bit going in, but, man, they were so cool. And now I'm a huge fan.
They were fun, same. And their buzz was already picking up a little bit. They have you'll hear it in here. They have a huge summer schedule that is just envious of yeah. any band up and coming. So I think they're
playing Shaky Knees in September, and I can't wait. That's one of my most anticipated acts now, thanks yeah. to this interview and just getting exposed to them through Bonnaroo.
And they couldn't have been happier to be involved in. That is a joy for people like us who are all, well, for me anyway, who's always terrified that I'm going to get somebody who doesn't have any interest in talking. And they,
yeah, right.
They were fun and so good stuff. Really happy to have them. 20 years old and they're far more mature beyond those years. And when I was 20, if you talked to me with a microphone, get out of here.
That's a good point. No, they were terrific. They walked right up, sat down, and we just had a conversation. And that's what I love. And I cannot wait to see what happens with these guys.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Barry. That's Brian. With us is Hey Nothing with Harlow and Tyler.
That's
How are
us.
You guys?
We're so, good.
How are you? Yeah, you just got on campus, as you called it.
Yes, we did.
Tell us about the excitement level.
Oh, my gosh. You start.
This feels like a dream come true.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Our first spawner, we went with Harlow's dad in, I think, 2022. And we just remembered watching every set and kind of hoping that one day we would get to do that.
Yeah, but
so
I mean,
it's like,
yeah, it's insane.
It really is
when
crazy.
You really get here.
Yeah,
and you're actually doing the thing.
I was gonna say the dream can't be that long. Y'all are quite young, and you've made a splash very, 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 very fast.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
how's
we're
that?
Super
how's
lucky.
That been? I mean, you start playing some music. Next thing you know, you're a Bonnaroo. I mean,
yeah.
It's not normally how the trajectory goes.
No, it's not normal at all. I don't know. We had a lot of we dreamed really hard. You know what I mean? And I think we're very surprised by the success we had, but we're so grateful and just we're just taking it as it comes. And we're really excited and happy about it.
It's our dream. We're living our dream.
It's just our dream.
Let's go back to you standing in the field with your grandfather. Did you, at that point, crystallize a dream? I'd like to do that. I mean, was that even in your universe or?
Yeah, I think it's always been our dream since we were little. I think like a lot of kids can attest to like growing up wanting to be a rock star, but
well, all of us.
Yeah.
Sure. Just about every single one of us.
Exactly. Yeah. So you never really think like that's going to be me. Like, of course I'm going to make it. So it's been like
no way to know.
Yeah. It's just been wild to like actually make our dreams happen.
Yeah.
Well, on that point, sorry, Barry, real quick, because I wrote this down just a minute ago. How many people told you that this is a silly ass idea?
Let me piggyback, because that's being here with your grandfather. Obviously, he was supportive, right? I mean, he's cool enough to have brought you to come with you to Bonnaroo.
Yeah.
So, yeah, up with that question.
You're getting into playing music. You're very young, youthful, and that's great. But how many people told you, that's a fun little dream you got there?
I think we had like equal amounts of people be like, this is kind of crazy. And but we also had like a lot of like my dad and like,
my mom
being, those just people just being like, yeah, do it.
Yeah. And I don't think we ever saw it as people being like, you guys are crazy. I think they're just being realistic.
Yeah.
And
we were
honest,
and I didn't necessarily mean that in a negative way. I assume your family is going to be supportive, but you know.
Yeah.
That's just it's a wild dream.
And
wild dreams are worth pursuing.
Yeah. For my mom definitely did not want me to not go to college. That was a thing.
Well,
for sure.
That's a good mother.
Yeah. And I was like, well, we'll just see.
Exactly.
And now we're here.
Did she set like the whole time limit, give it a year, give it two, then you got to go back to school, or was it?
I'm sure that conversation was had.
I kind of remember that a little bit. Yeah.
Like, all right, but if it doesn't work,
I don't
you
remember,
really
like,
do.
The give it a year necessarily, but I think it was more like a kind of a nudge of like, just know if this doesn't work out, you can always.
Yeah, we've
had
the college fund.
Yeah.
It's all good.
When did you know it would work out? When
still
did it become?
Still don't.
Good point.
You got, you know, today's a pretty good indication that you can maybe do this for a while.
Yeah.
So I think there's always going to be anxiety or just like, not even anxiety, just the idea that tomorrow we could wake up and we could live normal lives again. And I think we're both pretty comfortable with that. We're just happy.
Yeah,
we're
just
happy that we
get
to do
we
it.
Really take it as it goes. Because it really was like one day. We were in high school and like playing the cajon in the backyard, and then now it feels like we blinked and now we're here.
Exactly. It's really crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, on your schedule so far this year, tell me if I'm getting into this wrong. You got Summerfest.
Yeah.
Yes.
Milwaukee.
Yep.
Yeah.
Still never been to Summerfest.
Neither.
Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
Hinterland, which we just had a long conversation with the promoter and head booker of that festival in Iowa, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Shaky Knees in Atlanta.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, stop me when you're impressed. ACL. Right?
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, that's a really strong summer.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the strongest summer. The best summer ever.
Yeah. Like, I was going to say.
Do you worry that, like, there's those guys that come out of college and they're quarterbacks and they play in a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
And they think it's going to be like this?
Oh, yeah. We'll play Summerfest, Bonnaroo, Lollapalooza. Yeah, every year.
Every single year.
But it's a hell of a start.
Congratulations. Yes. When did you guys start playing together?
Well, we met when we were 11.
The first time
you're
20-ish. We're both 20.
20.
Yeah, we met when we were 11. I think the first time we hung out outside of school, we were playing music together.
Yeah.
And we were really bad at it at the time.
Well, of course you were.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's bad.
But and you'll look back in 5 years from now and think you were bad now.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You're not, but you'll think that.
2 days ago, and I'm like, oh God,
what are we doing?
Yeah, but I think that's a good cycle to have, to be constantly like...
critiquing your younger
like
self.
Critical in a healthy way of kind of what you're doing and just making sure that you stay dialed in what you're doing and you know what you want. And I think
you couldn't have, but how close were you to knowing at 11 what you wanted to be doing at 20?
Oh, I think you were better about
music wise.
I was very, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had the idea in my mind from a very young age. I don't know why or how. It just kind of made sense, I think. It was more just music made sense. It didn't necessarily mean, like, be in a rock band and play music festivals and go on tour, but it definitely wanted life to be centered around music.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember hearing Harlow sing for the first time and being like,
bang!
You got to do this
with
me.
That's
Matt. No.
I feel like, since we met, the whole time it was just, like, you being like, I'm going
to
do this thing.
And
me just being like,
yeah, I remember being like, I'm doing this and I really want you to do it.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. And I gotta do it too. I have to do it too.
Let's explore that a little bit. Cause you
sure.
at 11, so you're about to go through some of the most traumatic years of a human being's life. The last thing you typically want at that age is for anybody to be
looking at you,
much less know what's going on inside
and
of
then
you.
Potentially be critical or so analytical at all.
Yeah.
You know, that could be.
So how tough was that? I mean,
or
was it helpful? It might have been helpful to have somebody who, you know, you could bounce things.
It was helpful to have each other to kind of be able to share those things. I'm not really sure. We weren't super, or at least personally, I wasn't super like, scared to be myself to that capacity. Like, I think we both were comfortable being ourselves with each other.
Yeah.
And we got through it with that.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I feel like if we didn't have each other, it probably would have been terrifying and impossible. But the fact that we did have each other made it work.
Yeah. No one loves being perceived.
Exactly.
You know? But I feel like sometimes, most of the time, like, we are each other's, like, safety blanket in the sense of, like, you can always just, like, cast your anxiety on the other person. Like, it's all good, and they'll take it.
I'm not a songwriter, but that's a good line. No one loves being perceived. We should write that down.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
So what do you like better, indie folk or emo folk? If someone's saying that, that's two things I saw quickly with some Googling.
That's a good question.
That's hard.
Emo folk duo or indie folk?
I prefer emo folk.
Yeah. I think emo
keeping
folk.
Keeping the emo alive.
I think.
Yeah.
Keep it alive somehow.
I think emo folk is a bit more specific and has a bit more of like an intentional meaning to it.
Yeah.
And I think that's a nice label.
Yeah.
Well, I've been sampling some of your music the last couple of days and I've been enjoying it. And so you're from Atlanta and then your EP released last year is called Maine it has the title track.
Yes.
Is the song Maine. How do you find yourself somewhere in the middle of Maine? It wasn't just a clever name. You were in the state.
Yes.
Writing music in Maine. How does that happen from a couple of Southern folk, you know, ATLs?
Yeah. So my mom is from Maine. So I grew up going to Maine every summer. And it's like my favorite place in the whole entire world.
Okay.
And then,
so there was a lot.
Yeah.
A lot inside your head and your emotions and your life that lead to Maine.
Yeah, for sure. And then it like all came together when I took Tyler for the first time. I'd always wanted to. And we'd been talking about it for forever.
Yeah.
And
it's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
It's a really beautiful
never
place.
Never been. Would love to.
Yeah.
You really should go. It is the best place. And we were also, when we wrote that EP, there were some pretty traumatic things kind of going on back at home and in our lives that mm-hmm. we didn't really know how to deal with or cope with at all. So to be in the most beautiful place in America or possibly even in the world.
It really brought out a lot
really
of creativity.
Brought out a lot of creativity yeah. and a lot of, I think gave us just some clarity and some insight. And writing those songs helped us kind of get some things off our chest for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I apologize for going too much into a bio to find questions, but I got to run through a bunch of stuff quickly. It says... amongst the describing of your music, coping with, dealing with, however it was worded, growing up too early, too fast.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know if y'all wrote that or your PR wrote it.
I could have.
What does that mean? What does that mean to you guys as far as like what that's easy to say. What does that mean?
I think.
Because I think it's it's something that a lot of people deal with.
Yeah, absolutely.
All ages, but maybe even more so now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think we were both fortunate and a little bit misfortunate having to go through some really hard things when we were younger and in high school that I feel like a majority of high schoolers don't really go through. And I'm not going to get into specifics, but
sure.
I don't know. We went through it. We had some issues
sure.
that we had to kind of get through. And I think we both, because of those things, felt a little bit outcasted having to be in the community of people that are dealing with everyday struggles. And I don't think any struggle is like has more value than any other struggle
right.
that a high schooler is going through. But they were different for sure.
Yeah.
You said you had in your head at 11 kind of what you're now 20. We've talked about kind of half jokingly, but should be very seriously. This is a great summer.
Yeah.
You're having a really good summer.
Yeah. The best summer.
What's the goal? What are you guys hoping, looking forward? Are you planners? Are you goal oriented type, list maker types?
For so long, our goal
was this.
And like,
that's what I mean.
We're having to reevaluate.
Yeah. I feel like this summer is a big
milestone.
Holy shit. Oh my God.
It is holy shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I just named them all off. I mean, that's so incredibly impressive to be able to throw
you.
All of these on your docket for the year. Tours coming up after yeah. all this, possibly.
Yeah,
we love being on the road. Our main passion and what drives us is like playing live.
It's about the only way you got to make sure you're making a buck at these points. You're not going to sell any records, not enough to make a living.
yeah,
exactly. So it's we're there.
yeah,
more tour.
More yeah. like
how much do you accredit a lot of this success and trajectory to social media and primarily Instagram and maybe TikTok first and Instagram?
Yeah.
I imagine a lot.
Honestly, yeah. We're very, very grateful for social media.
Yeah.
It's the timing is really interesting because that group of people that you just saw walking by are Belmont students.
Really?
That were just
they were
there
just
for
having that exact
panel.
Conversation, actually.
Yeah, the people who booked this and run this mm-hmm. were giving them advice.
They were actually talking about how those social media numbers don't mean what you think they do. But they also can, right?
Yeah.
They can mean something.
I was listening because I knew we were getting ready to talk to you guys, and the mm-hmm. question was, how does a band get on their radar and get booked? And
yeah,
it was a whole lot of do this, don't do that, you know, be good.
Yeah.
Was the basic answer.
Yeah, that's the first start.
We've never really set any rules for ourselves other than just to be as authentic as we can. And I think.
And try to display that authenticity online.
Yeah.
You know?
I know you say a lot that people can tell when you're bullshitting your experiences and when you're trying to be something you're not.
Yeah, like we're not the type to like, and this is not a dig at like anybody who's doing this, but like we're not gonna like dance. We're not gonna like not gonna do like a trend
and
or
if we
like
do a trend, it's
like ironic.
Like making fun
you know?
Of that in
yeah,
itself.
And we just wanna be like, you know, ourselves, and then like if people like that, great. Like,
and
join us, you know?
Yeah.
Do you do all your social media, or do you have a team that helps with that now?
We do have a team that helps with it.
Yeah, I mean, I know you eventually have to, because it's every creative outlet now. It's like, oh, you used to do this? Well, now you're a video producer on social media, and everybody usually is... God damn it. I know how to do this really well.
Yeah.
I don't know how to necessarily do this. You guys have done well with that, it would appear.
Yeah. I think we didn't have a social team really until recently. Mm-hmm. We had people that were like pushing us to post and kind of like directing it a little bit, but now we definitely have more people that are like, we have some people posting for us, like just clips. I feel like as we grow, the workload does increase.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a never-ending grind.
Yeah. Exactly.
Just the social media alone. If you got any openings, I could help with my social media. Get your team to give me a call. I mean, it's like it's exhausting, but it's so necessary.
Yeah, it really is. And we're lucky enough to have like a team of really super creative people.
That's true.
And they all like get us and like get our humor and get what we're going for. So it all does, like, when it ends up on social media, it's us, you know,
it
feels like us. It's our team. It's,
You're playing tonight. Should have asked you this at the jump. Any family going to be out there?
Yes.
You got family here?
Yes.
Awesome.
My dad that took us the first time we ever came. My mom's here. My brother's here. My aunt is here. So, a lot of
family.
That's
awesome.
That's so cool.
Dad,
that's very
cool. My sister and my brother are both here.
And one of you on an AMA or something somewhere called you, referred to yourself as a handsome boy band.
Yeah.
I like
us.
That.
Yeah.
That's us.
That's what we'll go with.
Yeah.
We'll drop the indie folk emo, but handsome boy band.
Just handsome boy band is good for us.
All right. Guys, I can't thank you enough.
Yeah.
Thank
good
you.
Luck.
Thank
Congratulations.
You guys. This is awesome.
I'm really excited for you.
Thank you.
You can feel it. I love it.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Just a little bit of housekeeping, I guess, along those lines. We did that interview, and again, all of this happened before the cancellation, so this is our normal work, MO. So we talked to them. Russ did a couple of interviews with the Common John folks on Monday night? Was it? Or
that was Monday and Tuesday.
Monday into Tuesday morning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we'll probably run that in the, I don't know if we're going to take, we may take next week off since it's 4th of July. And we basically had planned to take this whole month off to kind of rejuvenate, but obviously news is happening. So
sorry, I do want to throw this out. We were talking about Corey and Brad. I spoke to Corey a little bit last week. Nothing to share because he didn't, it was just personal. But he is as bummed as we are that this thing didn't work out. I guarantee you he's feeling it just like we are. He reads the comments just like we do, and we probably shouldn't. If you get a chance, go see a Boot Scootin' Boogie Nights concert. They're playing July 5th in Chattanooga. They're playing July 25th in Knoxville. So if you are close to either one of those, please go see a show. It's a lot of fun. And I just wanted to plug his band.
Yeah, that
90s
country,
thing. Yeah.
And I didn't realize it was coming up in days here in Chattanooga. So, Corey, I'll see you Saturday.
Yeah.
Unless it rains like hell. Real quick, I meant to just open the show with it. Guys, I went to our minor league baseball game last night. Well, it was a special event, free food, come on down. Walked in, took a right under the concourse. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight's game has been canceled.
Here we go.
I was on the lake for a week. Yeah. It rained and rained and rained on the lake. Just, you know, it happens.
Yeah, it does.
Well, and at the risk of sounding like a homer, that was the point of what I said earlier. We want to think of Live Nation as some, you know, corporate concrete. It's Brad, it's Corey, it's Tuba. These guys all started at festivals, if not Bonnaroo specifically, as fans, and now they are in charge. So, yeah, if you don't think they're soul-crushed, you're wrong.
Yeah.
So, good point. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, didn't mean to derail, but
I'm glad you did too. So what was I saying? We may take next week off. Don't know if news happens. We'll be back. Obviously, we're on top of this as much as everybody else. We want to know what's going on. But if there's no new news, then we may not have a show next week.
We'll see how it goes. We're kind of week by week on everything right now, just like Bonnaroo, yeah. Live Nation, you guys. You know, a joke of a sports talk radio guy I like down here is anytime somebody says, you know, a sports guy is they're day to day. It's like, well, aren't we all?
there you go.
No kidding. Give us a call on the voicemail line, 423-667-7877. Post on our new community tab on YouTube.
I'll check that out. Too. I'd love to hear that.
Yeah. Post on Discord, you know, that we'll, even if we take a week or so off, the conversation continues there.
I've even gone to Discord a couple times the last week or two. So
there you go.
It's the end times. Yeah. It's the end times. Go check out Ian Bonnaroo and his photographs. If you're looking for something else to keep you hype, go check that out. So, all right. Thanks, guys, for listening. And we will either be back next week or we won't.